Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty, Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, what a blessing it is to come to the simple realization that it's you who have called us together this evening, you who have been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who feed us with your living word. Lord, help us come tonight open-minded, open-hearted, willing and receptive, hungry for your word, so that it might come to life in us and we might come to life in and as your word. Move in us tonight, move in each of us in clear and obvious ways to make it absolutely clear and unavoidably evident that the Church of Conscious Harmony is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. In the Father transcendent, the Word omnipresent, and the Spirit immanent, amen.
Staying in that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God in the power of His Word. And for that, we keep our minds open and relaxed and simply listen with the ear of the heart, a spiritual faculty that we all have and that grows as we exercise that. Our first reading on this, the 26th week in Ordinary Time, is from the book of Nehemiah. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when the wine was in my charge, I took some and offered it to the king, as I had never been before him sad in his presence. The king asked me, "Why do you look sad? If you're not sick, you must be sad at heart." Though I was seized with great fear, I answered the king, "May the king live forever. How could I not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been eaten out by fire?" The king asked me, "What is it then? What do you wish?" I prayed to the God of heaven and then answered the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant is deserving of your favor, send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, to rebuild it." Then the king and the queen, seated beside him, asked me how long my journey would take and when I would return. I set a date that was acceptable to him, and the king agreed that I may go. I asked the king further, "If it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the west of the Euphrates, so that they may afford me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. Also a letter for Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, that he may give me wood for timbering the gates of the temple citadel, and for the city wall, and the house that I shall occupy." The king granted my requests, for the favoring hand of my God was upon me. The word of the Lord. Psalm 137, "Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. On the aspens of that land we hung our harps. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. There our captors ask us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous. Sing for us the songs of Zion. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. Alleluia, alleluia. I consider all things so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus answered him, Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. And to another he said, Follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. But he answered him, Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. Jesus answered him, No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
In an hour or so, Marianne Best and I will be hosting a welcoming meeting for people who want to become members of the church. And one of the things that's on the agenda that Marianne wrote out was, how did the church come to be here? What was the aim of the church? And it's so deeply echoed in the scripture from Nehemiah tonight that I want to just open by talking about that. Because it's a powerful, powerful illustration of a principle that's available to all of us all the time. So how it came to be here was longing, deep, deep longing for meaning and for friendship. But not the kind of friends that I have till now. I needed a community of people who were like the community I was touched by at the Lama Foundation on my very first retreat ever with Ram Dass. And here we had 2 weeks. First week was silent. And all these people were together walking around and not speaking. It was a tremendous gift to kind of see each other without all that social grooming going on between everybody. And then the last week there was lecture and there was a lot of community stuff. So the last night that we were there together was under a full moon, and we gathered in a circle outside the Lama Dome and sang and prayed and did communion, shared communion with each other in cups that we had fired in the pottery shed. And after the group broke up, I was left with the realization that where I lived and what I had been doing till that time was, as Paul said in what we were quoting, so much rubbish. My heart was not touched by any of the things that I had done in my life. My heart was not touched by all the guys I hung with. I loved them. We had great times having football discussions or talking politics. But something happened in that community at Lama that touched my spirit in a way that made me long to be part of a community like that. But I was a man who was in debt back in Denver. And I had to stay employed in a reasonably productive, well-paying job in order to service my debt. I was caught in a situation that was meaningless to me. I did it because I did it. Because I got out of college in debt and just stayed that way with good credit. And here all of a sudden was another set of values, another way to be present to each other, and a spiritual force that was so different than anything I'd experienced on my own, that I saw the value of community, and I just yearned for it. And here we sit. Like Ezra was yearning for Jerusalem when he was a captive in Babylon. Babylon is culture. Babylon is a place where things and circumstances promise things they can't deliver. Babylon is the dream of separation in which commercialism and stuff takes over and kind of stuffs our search for meaning. Meaning just goes away when you're in Babylon, and you just keep doing it because that's what we do in Babylon. So Babylon represents captivity. And here's this guy longing for Jerusalem, which he knows to be in ruins, and he got to go back. And the psalmist in Psalm 137 echoes this beautifully when he said, "By the rivers of Babylon we hung up our harps. We couldn't play our songs anymore. We had no means of expressing the joy because we're captives in a country that isn't who we are. It's not our people. Tell us your songs. Give us the words of your songs and show us joy. How could we be joyful when we're not in our home with our people?" And so his yearning called forth a knowledge, acknowledgement from the king. "You look sad. What's going on with you?" And here I think we have an opportunity to see ourselves in the mirror of culture. Our culture is not a very happy culture. We're not very happy people. We're amused a lot of times, and we're certainly attracted to many new and novel changing things. But we're given away, just like Ezra was given away by his sadness, by the fact that his joy wasn't there. "Where's my joy?" Jesus said, "I came, you might have joy. And my joy be in you, and your joy complete." Well, I got touched by joy at that Lama experience, and that's all I wanted after that. I wanted to sing my song again. I wanted to sing a joyful song of praise to the Lord in the company of other people who felt that way too. And that yearning fulfilled a principle that that which we hunger for, that which we yearn for or are attracted to, is like a homing beacon. It's like a homing beacon. We get what we hunger for. Kabir said, when the guest is being longed for, and he's speaking of capital G guest, the Holy Spirit, when the guest is being longed for is the intensity of the longing that does all the work. And then he said, "You look at me and you'll see a slave of that intensity." So when we've been touched by the Spirit, we're no longer satisfied with the glitter and the gold. It's not like we have to say a pox on it, get mad at it. It's just like, you get it. This stuff can never fulfill me. Nothing that the culture can offer me will ever, ever touch that longing place in my heart that needs real meaning to be a real human being. And is no longer satisfied with the pretense that this is making me happy, because my face will always give me away. If I'm not joyful, then the difference between having pleasure and happiness versus joy is enormous. You can't fake joy. Your heart just soars. Your heart just lifts off when you're touched by joy. So now we come to the text, the gospel text. Jesus going with his disciples, and a guy says, I will follow you anywhere. Guy's really touched by Jesus. I'll follow you anywhere. And what does Jesus say to him? Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, what's going on here? Why would Jesus answer that way to a guy who said, I'll follow you anywhere? Because the guy didn't understand. You can't follow Christ anywhere. He's already here. He was thinking of grabbing onto Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus says, it's not like that. It's not a thing you can grab onto. It's not a security that's physical. It's not anything you can touch with your hands or see with your senses. It's a feeling of wholeness. And the next guy says, he says to the next guy, follow me. And this guy says, just a minute. I've got to deal with some things in my past that don't seem healed yet. Here's the right now, everywhere present, whole thing that each of us is hungry for. It's presenting itself to us, and we're saying, just a second, I've got these grievances to take care of with my conditioning. I've got to deal with my past before I can love you in the present or let you love me in the present. And the third guy, he says, follow me. Guy said, well, can I go say goodbye to my family first? Again, there's the seeming separation between who's talking or what's talking to these men and what they're perceiving. Because what's talking to them identifies itself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. And that's you and that's me. We're human beings. We're man. Each of us is a unique, never-to-be-repeated iteration of the species, the creature called man. But man's destiny is not in the slavery of Babylon, where one more thing will make us happy or one more experience will make us more full of life. The fullness of life is here, and it's beyond experiences that you can have in the world. The kingdom of heaven is right here at hand. It's invisible, though, and you can't see it when you look in the mirror or see anybody else if you judge by the appearance of their body. What we're yearning for is ourselves. We've gotten outside ourselves. We've gotten our center of gravity and conditions or longing for things that glitter, but when we get them, they end up in the closet. The meaning we're hungry for is in our own hearts always. It's a hunger to be real. It's a hunger that our souls remember from when we were little kids. We long for that innocence before we had to cover up and pretend that the BS was true. Every one of us knew when we were little kids, there's something in right here. These people are, there's something unrighteous going on. They're unbalanced. Little kids know this. And I remember when I just kind of got discouraged and bought in. And I wanted to get back into the magic world of my innocence. I can remember, oh, I want to feel like I did before. I couldn't do that anymore. That door was closed. The innocence was gone, but it remained as a memory to be yearned for. And I think that's what's in each of our souls, something to be yearned for that isn't in the physical world and never will be there. We're yearning for the meaning that comes into our lives when we realize that we are the Son of Man, that we are the creation of God, and each and every one of us is the beloved of God now and always, no matter what we do or have done or haven't done. We're the beloved of God, and His kingdom offers itself to us right here, right now. But sometimes our attention wanders into the back, and we think, oh, all the things that happened to me. Poor me. Or our attention wanders into all the relationships that we need to do something with yet. Oh, I've got to get up to date with her. I've got to get up to date with him. So much so that the noticing of our lives now eludes us. And it's in the noticing of those of this life as the gift that it is, as the gift on which we are totally dependent for God, it's in that noticing that we are made whole and the rest of our lives begin to get coherent. It's not that we lose the world when we let go of being slaves to Babylon. Our world will stay here. We'll still have experiences. We'll still have relationships. We'll still have money. But our sense of self won't be longing for something that's far away anymore, because we will have been found. We will have become still enough to allow ourselves to be found by the God who just loves us. And simple old ordinary you and simple ordinary me discover ourselves as living creatures, beloved of God, and His disciples just by being ordinary and doing our ordinary lives in His extraordinary love. Then we'll have experiences, things will come to us, and things will go. Life will go on as before on the outer world, probably with more coherence and less struggle. But there will be this inner knowing that I fulfilled the purpose of my life, that I've become the child of my Father, aware of my dependence on Him. I'm going to tell you a real quick story, a very powerful moment for us. Bill Browder, one of the founding members of our church, was dying, and some of us were in on it. It was a conscious death, and it was gorgeous from beginning to end. Because he was in on the deal and he wasn't scared at all. So down at Seton Hospital, on the last day of his life, we were sitting around his bed, and he said, "Let's have a wake for me right now before I die. You tell me what was the favorite thing you've ever shared with me." So we all went around the room, and I said to Bill, when we finished, I said, "Well, what about you? What was the biggest moment in your life?" And he said, "When I realized that I am the Son of God." I mean, just like that. And I was present at that moment. I didn't realize what was happening. When he was at Seton, just before he was released, I anointed him. And I used oil and put the cross on his head. "I anoint you for the healing and the recovery of your soul." And while I was leaning over him, Bill went like this. And I kind of thought he was playing around. But he was looking right through me. And that moment that we were having the wake, he said, at that moment, I realized, I am the Son of God. Not will be, not might be. Yeah, that's the truth. That's what Jesus wants you to know. You're the Son of God. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just doing what those people do. Instead of following Him into now, we're looking backward. We're trying to get Him as an object to hold on to or see or touch. But love isn't like that. Love is an atmosphere. Love is a presence that you feel. And you can't get credit for it, and you can't count it, and you can't hold on to it, but you can sure yearn for it. And when you do, look at it, this will happen. So that's how our church got here. Amen. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.